game.
Played. It's 8 o'clock Thursday night. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson. And, man, it's been a short week. At least it seems like a short week. It's already Thursday, and tomorrow is National Talk Like a Pirate Day. So got some friends in Jacksonville that look forward to that day every year. And a little treat for y'all tonight.
Introducing a new seat for Wilderness Systems Ride Series Fishing Kayaks. The Air Pro Max blends durability, functionality, and accessory-ready features in a comfortable, lightweight package. Elevate your next angling adventure with the Air Pro Max by Wilderness Systems.
Check with your local Wilderness Systems dealer for availability today.
Your local Wilderness Systems dealer. And actually, tonight, we are joined by Southeast Florida, from Southeast Florida, Coral Springs area, the pro staffer, Bill Sikora. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I'm well, thank you.
All right, cool. And pro staffer from Wilderness Systems, and played the nice little in there from on the new seat, which looks like a real nice seat.
Yes, it does. I know it's set for release mid-October.
Uh-huh. Are we going to see one at the upcoming Boondoggle in October?
As a matter of fact, yes, we are.
Awesome.
Yes, we'll have one on the Ride 135 Max Angler that we'll be giving away.
Woo! All right. So that'll bring everybody in. Let me bring in the rest of Buzzard's Row here, at least the folks that have shown up so far. Another South Floridian there, and sometimes guest host and stand-in, the Navy vet, Sean Wagoner. Good evening, Sean.
Evening, everyone.
So hopefully the weather is good in your neighborhood.
It's been all right. I thought we were going to get another thunderstorm in this afternoon, but nothing. It's good.
You know, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute, right? It'll change. It's Florida.
That's exactly it. Wait 5 minutes.
There we go. And I think somebody who has similar accents to Bill, our own yak chum, Matt Trucks. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, good evening, Chip. I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah. So we got Bill Sikora, pro staffer, Wilderness System, joining us tonight. They're going to be joining us at the Boondoggle at Cars Park in Titusville, Merritt Island. That is October 10th through the 14th. And Bill tells me, Bill, you say this is your first time fishing up that far, right?
Yes, it is.
So what are you looking forward to? I mean, what's your goal for the weekend?
My goal is to take it all in. From what I understand, this is a terrific event. A lot of terrific people, a lot of great vendors going to be there. So, and I hear the food's great. So I'm really looking forward just to being involved with the kayak fishing community there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The Boondoggle started a few years back. We were looking for something to do. People listening in on Kayak Fishing Radio, those folks that are checking out the resources and stuff at yakangler.com. And so we just said, hey, let's put a pin in the map and see what goes on, and told everybody where we were going to be for the weekend. And I think the very first weekend we had maybe 15, 20 people show up, and move forward a couple of years to last summer or last event at Cars. There were like probably 500-600 people there for the weekend. So, and Sean can tell you that boondoggle is the most appropriate word. Kind of a lot of military background there, but it's total waste of time. And
I don't know about a total waste. I mean, it's just it's an awesome weekend to relax and hang out and, you know, the food. And, I mean, like this past one in Crooked River State Park, I mean, the crawfish boil, you know, all the crawfish that Russ brought over. I mean, it was just phenomenal. Fishing? Yeah, fishing so-so. But
yeah, whatever. There was some fishing done. It was like there was a little bit of fishing done amongst the weekend partying. So, you were at you showed up. Crooked River wasn't your first boondoggle, was it, Sean?
It was. Crooked River was our very first.
Wow, I thought you were at Pensacola, but I guess Pensacola and there kind of were like the similar park and stuff, but nice open park and everything. It was a lot of fun. But Bill, so what does it mean to be a Wilderness Systems Pro Staffer?
Oh, it's my third year with them, and it's been terrific to promote the brand. I was using your products prior to going on staff. I do a lot of locally events such as demo days, spend some time on the water with different anglers talking about the products. And, you know, Boondoggle, for example, will be my first event where I'll be there to work the event for Wilderness Systems, do some blogging, some forum chats, just basically representing the brand and, you know, promoting the sport of kayak fishing.
Cool. And how long have you been kayak fishing?
I started in 2003 when I moved to Jensen Beach, Florida.
Uh-huh. And go ahead.
Oh, I used to wade fish a lot because I see a lot of guys wading in the river. But when I moved to South Florida here, I noticed a lot of kayaks on top of cars and reading local magazines and seeing that was the way that, you know, many people were fishing here in South Florida in the river. And it just stuck with me. I tried it once. I caught my first fish, and I was hooked from there.
No pun intended.
No.
No injuries, right? Yeah. So.
No.
But so as a Wilderness Pro Staff, you use Wilderness kayaks. I mean, what boats do you have in your stable?
I have a Ride 115, a Tarpon 140, and two Commander 120s.
Nice. So you got a big truck. You got racks all over it. And you drag them all around, and you're going to be at the Boondoggle, and you said there's going to be a ride there with the new seat.
Yes, there is.
Okay, cool. And what else is Wilderness going to be showing off for the weekend? You guys going to do any kind of seminars?
They may be having a seminar. No, they'll have the new seat on display as well as the Ride 135. I'll have my Commander 120 there. I'll have that rigged up so people could see the different ways to rig the Commander. Probably have some little odds and end giveaways and just answer people's questions and, you know, let them try out that new seat because I know there's a lot of buzz about it right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be too long before you won't be able to find a boat that doesn't have a lawn chair in it, as I call it. No disrespect meant, but.
No, none taken. It's over the last couple of years, kayak seats have just been so wildly improved over what they used to be. So.
And you can just stay in the boat a lot. The more comfortable you are, the longer you can fish. The longer you can fish, the more time you got bait in the water, all that good stuff. I mean, it's just
absolutely.
It's just, you know, so
it's all about not having a wet behind.
Yeah, having exactly the cheese, right. Having the cheese factory going down there and all, you know. from the motorcycle side of the house, you know, we call it monkey butt. So. I guess in the kayak it's more duck butt than anything. But so, Bill, you're also the founder of the Florida Bass Paddlers. Tell us a little bit about that, man.
Well, when I moved to Coral Springs after living in Jensen Beach, I started got back into freshwater fishing. I was bass fishing in New Jersey out of a John boat for many years, and there wasn't a lot of people fishing for bass, I noticed, out of kayaks. Most of the concentration was in the rivers and in the flats. So I founded the Florida Bass Paddlers as a way to promote kayak bass fishing, but also almost like a meetup to, you know, promote camaraderie amongst kayak anglers. We We've had some people who've never kayak fished before join our club. It's a no-charge club. We meet once a month. We go fishing in various areas. And a couple times a year we'll have tournaments where we'll benefit nonprofits. For example, Heroes on the Water, we've done some tournaments to benefit them. This past November, I hosted a tournament where anglers brought unwrapped toys, which I donated to the SOS Children's Village. We've had some terrific sponsor support, Hook One, Yak Attack. So we just really want people to have fun, get together once a month, and show them that, you know, there's terrific fishing in the flats, but, you know, bass fishing is a nice, healthy alternative to fishing the salt.
It's like a mini freshwater boondoggle. I mean, it's literally just, you know, Bill or, you know, someone in the club says, hey, let's try this lake, let's try this park. And we say, okay, this date, this place, and everybody shows up and we go fish for a while. We come back in, we hang out. Sometimes we go grab lunch together. I mean, it's just hanging out. It's a very relaxed, very enjoyable club.
And I mean, a lot of people don't realize, while Florida may be like, you know, I don't know, there's probably some contention between Texans, Louisiana, but I mean, you know, the saltwater fishing capital of the world, but there, Florida is huge for bass fishing. I mean, you've got the Thousand Lakes areas and, you know, Okeechobee. I mean, Okeechobee is just a huge fishery for bass. And then the Everglades is not all saltwater and brackish. I mean, you get freshwater through there too. So a lot of people don't realize what a great freshwater fishery there exists in Florida.
Oh, there's so many canals and lakes and everything down here. I mean, Florida literally is the fishing capital of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Absolutely. And all the multiple species now, peacock bass have really taken off again after the rough winter a couple years ago, and they're being caught as far north as Palm Beach County in lakes such as Lake Osborne. Snakeheads, which were not a non-native species, more and more anglers are actually going out for them because, A, it's actually good table fare, but they put up quite a fight. And many of the other cichlids in the water, are, you know, a lot of fly fishermen like to fish for them. So there's the freshwater, you know, angling is just as good as the inshore, with, you know, with the exception of size. But it's, I enjoy it. I've always been partial to freshwater over saltwater.
I know the canals that were in the area I grew up in, south of Miami Lakes, Palm Springs North area and stuff, and in Hialeah there, and I mean, you could walk to the end of any street basically and get to a canal that would have plenty of fish in it. And a lot of people don't realize the crossover between some of the species. Like, I mean, I've dove most of the freshwater spring areas, or the more popular ones, I guess you'd say, in Florida. And you look up under a piece of structure there and you'll see a largemouth bass and a snook side by side, you know, and a black drum. And, you know, you'll see, I mean, it's just, you might catch.
This is when you were diving purposely, right?
Yes, diving purposely, not diving out of my kayak. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty cool. Now, I don't know, I mean, you know, if you come down the west coast of Florida on the Gulf side, you know, Sarasota and Homosassa and all of that, I mean, you see a lot of crossover in there. And, I mean, it's really fun. I mean, there's just so many things to fish for in Florida. And like you said now, with the invasives and the way they've taken hold, it just creates a huge... I didn't know snakeheads were edible, though. Is that... they're a pretty good table fare?
Yes, they are. I've actually seen a couple meetup groups that have actually posted recipes on them. Initially, FWC wanted them destroyed when they were caught and landed in your boat or on shore, et cetera. But learning that they are actually quite tasty, they're actually promoting people bringing them home and eating them rather than just wasting the fish. So a lot of people I know eat them and enjoy them, actually.
Well, a couple of our members at Florida Bass Paddler,
yes,
you know, Rob and Sam and those guys, they they catch them, like we had the one there at the Trade Winds. I mean, Rob took home that big snakehead he caught.
And they're pretty aggressive fish, too.
I've heard guys in Virginia putting them on par with mahi, actually.
Put them on what?
They put the meat on par with mahi-mahi.
Really?
I don't know. I've never had
it. White, flaky, light. A lot of people eat them. And I know FWC is encouraging it. But, you know, down here, I'm just so nervous to eat anything out of fresh water. I mean, there's so much pollution and runoff and fertilizers and everything else. I mean, if you go to FWC's, Florida Wildlife's, website, they suggest only eating 2 to 3 freshwater fish per year. So it's like, while I get it that they're encouraging people to eat the snakeheads,
right,
but what, 2 to 3 a year?
But,
That said, Rob and these guys and a lot of other people, they catch them, they eat them, and they eat them all the time. So
I guess if you cook them well, because, I mean, what I know of, I guess I could probably do some research. It'd be a spot on a different show. But, I mean, the big thing with freshwater fish is the bacterial levels in the water, and they can carry it. If you see freshwater fish in a fish market, they should have some sort of an inspection tag on them or something like that. There's no requirement for inspection of saltwater fish. However, for freshwater, because of the bacteria and stuff that they can carry, there's a requirement for it. But I guess you just follow the FWC guidelines, recommended guidelines, just like you would for saltwater fish. I mean, you're not going to, I think for mackerel and stuff like that, you're talking about, mercury levels in the fish and in the big fish, certainly with the big predator fish like barracuda and stuff, you got to worry about. I mean, you got to be further south in a lot warmer water, but the ciguatera poisoning and stuff, but it's dangerous. Enjoy it while you can.
The other concern down here is the mercury levels, the mercury level from all the fertilizer and the chemical runoff from agricultural areas and properties. I mean, everybody's got to have a beautiful lawn here in South Florida. So, I mean, it's, heavily fertilized.
Heavily fertilized. So let's see. Matt, you notice that Bill has kind of, he can speak your language, man. He's from the... Matt, you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so did you go fishing this week, man?
I did. I joined the CBKA tournament down in Maryland, fishing by the Chesapeake Bay Bridge over there.
Right.
Fishing was slow. I only ended up with 2 striped bass, and I can put them in my smallest fish bracket, so... One was pushing about 9.5 inches, and then the other one was about 9.25. So,
you sure that was a striped bass?
It was.
Right.
I've never seen them that small before. But
Bill, you
that's
ever
a good sign.
You ever fish for bass up when you're in Jersey?
I did, yes.
Yeah,
largemouth and striped bass. Not from a kayak, though, but I have fished for them.
I've never seen them that small before, so that's awesome.
The little fingerlings.
Hey, Bill, let me bring you back to the wilderness for a second. So I know you've got the 2 commanders, and I know you prefer the more open, kayak versus, the more traditional sit on top of the rod and the tarpon. But didn't you just mount a micro power pole in the back of one of your commanders?
I did. I liked the Commander 120 so much I'd gotten a second one, one of which I have with the rudder for my freshwater application, and the other one I have the shallow water anchor micro pole on for my inshore. With the flat stern in the back, using their clamp mount, was very easy to put the anchor on there. You can also put a trolling motor if you wished on the back, and I love it. It's a very versatile boat. I really enjoy fishing. I have a hybrid more than I have other kayaks.
Well, I know Chip was, kind of harassing you about having a big truck and, trailer for hauling all your kayaks around, but I happen to know that he has a small SUV, and you know, he just throws the Commander right up on top of the roof racks of his SUV. So it's definitely a lightweight kayak.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice little kayak to be. I mean, it's not a little kayak. I mean, it is a hybrid. Tell us about the hybrid. What are we talking about there, Bill, for those folks who might be listening to the podcast?
Hybrids became popular a couple of years ago. Basically, a hybrid is, imagine, if you will, a canoe shaped like a kayak. It's very, it still has the sleekness of a kayak, but it's nice and open on the inside. There are no hatches. You do have a tank well and a little seat, and then your whole front is open. So you really have room to move around. If you're a tall individual like Sean, unfortunately, I don't fit that category, but you have leg room. Also, it's great for fly anglers because the hybrids are a very clean kayak, where a kayak with hatches, if you will, may have areas for your fly line to get snagged, where a hybrid, there's really nothing in front of you. You can lay a towel down and your fly line won't catch, and it's a very, you know, it's just a terrific platform for fly fishermen as well. And standing up with the pontoon bottom is, they're very, very stable, the hybrids.
Yeah, I fish out of a different the hybrid boats are real nice, especially for the flats. And I'm sure, and I've had, you know, experience with them in the freshwater, and it is really nice with the fly rod just to have that open area in front of you. Like you say, you can lay a towel down to make sure that, you know, the fly, just to extra. You don't really need it because of the openness of the hull, but it's a real versatile boat for fishing. And for those folks who might think, you know, a lot of people think, you know, that, it's a kayak, it's going to be real tippy. But I think the hybrids are some of the most stable kayaks that are out there. You know, they're nice. They got a nice beam to them. And with the little pontoon hulls, like you say, you get your feet down there. Your feet are actually kind of below the water level, so that the center of gravity is lower and it's a lot more comfortable. And on that Commander, the seat, right, it kind of moves out of your way too, right, to give you even a little more room?
Absolutely. The seat actually rests on two rails, where you can slide it as forward as much as you'd like, or you can lock it in place with two tethers, or that you can fold the seat back down and push it underneath, and then there's a secondary seat called some people call it the captain's chair or the captain's perch, where you could sit up a little higher, and, for example, if you're a fly fisherman or a sight fisherman, it really helps you get standing up if you're sitting at a higher position. So I know a lot of anglers who have actually taken a seat out of their Commander and strictly sit on the captain's perch when they're out paddling, because it's just easier for them to get up in a standing position to make that accurate cast or to get that fly out there.
And wilderness boats, I know from having experience with the tarpons, they're really easy boats to paddle too. In fact, are you familiar with the Adventure Fishing World Championship?
I have heard of it, yes.
Yeah, down in the Everglades event. And the first year that we participated in there, there were two young guys who I think were sponsored by, I think it was Chad from Hook One, but he had hooked these two guys up with tarpon 160s. And those dudes were the fastest out there. I mean, they were nice young. I mean, you know, they were young college age kids, man. So they were in good shape. And those boats would just haul through the water. I mean, and they're a very fishable boat. And they did a real nice job. I think they were in the top 10 at the end of the day. But real nice clean hauls. And actually, the first boat my son had was a little mini axe, but then he actually won a tarpon 120 in a tournament, and that boat made all the difference in the world. I mean, it was real easy for him. It was a nice starter boat for him. You know, he was 9 years old and could paddle it and move it around real easy. The hatches are real nice on him, and I think now with the addition of the new seats, the wilderness boats are just a really a great option for kayak fishing.
They are. I enjoy my tarpon. I usually use mine if I'm fishing larger waters, because, again, like you said, it's just such an easy paddle. And if you have to carry, go further distances, you know, to be in a tarpon, I'd rather be in my tarpon than any of my other boats, because I know I can cover that water a lot faster. So it's a great boat.
Real sleek.
Are those new seats going to be able to fit into a Pungo? Because that would be awesome.
You know, you're not the first person to ask that. Not yet, but I'm sure down the road. We have a team member on staff by the name of Wade on Wilderness Systems, and he swears by the sit-in kayak. He's been fishing out of them, I think, his entire life, and he has a couple Pungos, and I'm sure one day they'll have the upgraded seat as well, because that's becoming that's still one of the main boats in Wilderness Systems stable is the Pungo. Very popular boat.
Pungo is awesome. I have a Pungo. I don't fish out of it, but I love that boat.
It's always
yeah, Wade,
it was, go ahead.
Wade is he's known for his tiger striping of his boats, sir. He does a wonderful paint job on them, but he has them rigged out to fish, and he does quite well on them.
I think I've seen those tiger stripes.
You know, the ride is. I mean, it's such a great all-around boat. You know, I mean, everybody has their specific interest, whether they're saltwater, freshwater, whatever, offshore. You know, I know a lot of chapters for Heroes in the Water have pretty much standardized on the ride, you know, and looking at what they're doing and how well the boats are holding up. Our South Florida chapter, we just ordered, you know, we just ordered some of them down here for our chapter. And then it's going to be our standard single kayak. Is a Ride 115.
Those are also very nice boats. My first staff boat was the Ride 115, and I really enjoy fishing out of that one as well.
What are some of the ways you're rigging your rides?
Well, for
and
me,
I mean, I know folks are going to see them at the boondoggle, but a little preview.
What's, for me, one of the features I liked about Wilderness before I even went on staff was the slide track system. I remember my first boat years ago, which was a Heritage Redfish. Heritage is no longer around. They were actually went into the native watercraft line, but everything had to, you know, be drilled and it was hard to always access the inside of the kayak. Wilderness Systems with the slide track systems allows you to put an array of accessories from Ram, Scotty, I think there's a Railzilla company that just came out, without even having to drill into the kayak. So, you know, using a Ram ball, for example, there's a variety of different rod holders out there. I mostly do most of my rigging off the slide track system without even drilling any holes into the boat, because it's just so versatile for me to, you know, switch off rod holders based on what type of fishing I'm doing.
Cool. Yeah, I was just going to say, I thought that the Wilderness Systems were one of the first groups to put the slide track systems on their boats, and that's really been kind of a revolution for mounting gear on the boats.
Oh, it's been fantastic. And the amount of accessories from all the major manufacturers as far as kayak accessories is concerned is, you know, every year you see more and more terrific products coming out just to make, you know, outfitting your kayak that much easier without having to drill holes and, you know, putting something where, you know, a rod holder, for example, in a position where you say, well, I wish I had it a little further back. The slide tracks really gives you that opportunity to tweak things just however you want them. So, you know, your kayak's made for your, you know, specific application of fishing.
Yeah. And that's just the beauty of the kayak fishing is just, you know, being able to tweak the boat, make it personal. And, you know, when you're there, you know where all your gear is, you know how to set it up, that kind of thing. A lot of people don't realize when you go out first time with someone, you take them kayak fishing, and you go, yeah, we need to get there so that we can build our boats. You know, it's like, build your boats. Like, yeah, we got to put everything on them. You don't stick them on the roof with all that stuff hanging off of them.
No.
But So, I'm sorry, I had a train of thought there. I just kind of lost it. But Slidetrack Systems, the new seat. Tell us a little bit about more what you know about the new seat for the Wilderness.
Well, I know the new seat is a multi-positional seat. It's an additional 4 inches of height over the standard seat. With the higher stance of the seat, entering and exiting the kayak is a lot easier. There's additional storage underneath the seat for anglers who want to keep a couple utility boxes. We all know how much we love our Plano boxes. The seats are breathable. The material, you know, allows air to get up, you know, into the seats, so you're not sitting on a solid seat and sweating. It's better back support, which, like something you mentioned earlier, you can be out in the water longer. And removal, and I know a lot of people like the reclining aspect of it and even use it. They talk about wanting to use it as a camp chair for when they're not out in a kayak.
Well, when you're not in a kayak, I mean, being able to pull the lawn chair out of it is great, you know. But even in the boat, I mean, really, you know, I was kind of joking with, you know, Bobby at ICAST is, you know, really there's three positions. You have your high seating, your low seating, and then your gangster seating. you know, kind of reclined back pretty far. But it's, you know, it's nice the fact that you can do it very easily in the kayak without having to, you know, get up and move it or release a strap and then move the entire seat. You can just kind of like lift up, grab the little lift handle and, you know, change the position.
And it gives you that, it's similar in case to some other seats, but the nice thing is, so if you want a little bit higher seat, you can actually just fold it down and sit on top of it, right?
I have seen an angler do that, yes. Yeah. Yep, I know some of the guys on staff have actually gotten prototypes of the seat and have been trying it out on waters and giving us their feedback on it. So I'm definitely looking forward to receiving mine next month, yeah. That's for sure.
Well, one of the neat things is, you know, instead of the traditional lawn chair that, you know, the frame goes straight down, you know, because they are designed to retrofit into the rails of the ride so that you can adjust it forward and back so you can adjust your, you know, your balance of the kayak like you can in the existing ride, but with the new seat, the side of it where the rails attach, it's a flat section right there. You know, Bobby and a couple of the guys there had gear track, you know, just more, you know, track system screwed down to that little black flat section. So on the side, you put a cup holder and another rod holder on the other side. So, you know, it gives you another flat surface in the kayak to put, you know, some more gear track if you want.
I guarantee you.
I didn't go the Hobie way and just say, all right, you can't retrofit this seat. You just have to buy a new kayak.
Just buy a new one. No,
I think that's cool that they made it so you can retrofit it. I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah. I bet not 2 weeks after it's been out, you know, when they start delivering them, you'll see it on other boats too. I bet folks will figure a way to stick it in an old, you'll probably see one in an old Outback Hobie, guarantee you.
Yeah, I've seen the
Jackson. We are retrofitters as kayak anglers. It's amazing what I've seen people do with their kayaks over the years to, you know, some fantastic ideas you can see online. And I fished with a friend of mine, Stan. He put a John Boat seat into his Hobie. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And it was pretty impressive.
You know, it's like, I think that had it been around and been an option, I think Einstein would have been a kayak angler, you know, because just him and, you know, just all of the brilliance of the guys just looking at things and going, oh, you know what, if I had some PVC, I could make that work, you know, or if I had a bucket, you know, I could make that work. So very cool. And it's cool now, too, because I think all of the manufacturers, Wilderness, out in front, too, you know, with retrofitting things. It's very cool, and I give Wilderness big props for that, because just like Matt said, you know, not go like Hobie, oh yeah, it's not going to fit in the previous models, you know, and it's just something about it. You know, I think part of the sport, part of the beauty of kayak fishing is the fact that people can do it without dropping a lot of coin, you know. I mean, and Wilderness is one of the manufacturers, for folks listening and they've listened to previous shows and stuff. You know, I'm real big on, you know, I don't know if some of these manufacturers, you know, coming out with these big two-seat, 200-pound kayaks that are, you know, going for $5,000, you're losing the real. And I'm not like a purist, you know. I don't think, you know, you have to. Everybody needs a Pungo in their backyard, like Matt, you know. But I mean, you know. It part of it is that, you know, anybody can just go out there and get a decent boat, and, you know, manufacturers like Wilderness and Ocean Kayak and stuff like that are making it possible. They're maintaining, you know, the affordability of an entry level boat, and I just give them props for that, man, because not everybody can go out there and drop three large on a plastic boat.
Plus no, it's it's very expensive, some of their boats. I mean, as nice as they are, but you start to wonder where the line is drawn between, is it still a kayak, or are we talking about a small boat? I mean, John boats that would weigh and cost less than some of these kayaks. So, you know, that's why I enjoy Wilderness Systems products. So, you know, I've said that before, even when I was on staff with them. I like where they're going, and I still like where they're going, and, you know, I'm glad to be part of it.
Cool. So what's the forecast? What are we doing for the upcoming weekends? What's the schedules looking like? Sean, when's the next Bill mentioned it, and the support for Heroes on the Water. So what's coming up? Give us a quick update. What's going on with your chapter down there, Sean?
Yeah, so a couple of things. September 27th, we are doing a pseudo-private event for another veterans organization called Team Red, White, and Blue. One of their key organizers for the chapter down here in South Florida came to our last event, been partnering with us, and asked if we could do an event for them and their vets. And we're going to do that September 27th down here in South Florida. And it's going to be small. We're going to limit it to 10. But the following weekend, October 4th, will be our next main event down here, and hopefully we'll be between 15 and 20 vets on the water. And not to be remiss, September 28th is our next Florida Bass Paddler event down south here in Florida, specifically going after peacock.
The peacock bass.
Yes.
I got Sean's number. One day I'm just going to call him and be like, hey, man, I'm right by your house.
Do it. Anytime.
And I'd love to catch a peacock bass someday. That's on my bucket list, definitely.
Well, I got the kayaks. Just fly on down, Matt. Just say, hey, I'm at the airport. Come pick me up. I'll have to come pick you up.
Cool.
Go to Fort Lauderdale. Don't go into Miami International.
I'm going to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, that's where I was today.
I end up Palm Beach.
That's it.
And drive down. Yeah.
So, and then Matt, you have a chapter up there in Jersey. You guys just finished really cool event out on the Coast Guard Station 1. We talked about that last. Yeah. So, what's coming up?
This past weekend, we just had an event that I missed because I was at the tournament, but we had a freshwater event at Lake Lenape, which I heard went over very well. I've never fished there, but apparently they had a good time, good weather. They missed the rain again. So we have actually, all the New Jersey events have not been rained on yet. Just after the vets left and we were packing up, we got hit by a couple storms. So that's it. But upcoming.
Shouldn't have said that.
I know. Upcoming, Manasquan Reservoir. That's one of the the best lakes in the state. That's September 27th. That's going to be an excellent event. It's actually one of the leadership team's son is running the event for his Eagle Scout project for Boy Scouts. So he's taking on the whole event, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we have two events at Picatinny Lake, and that's at the Picatinny Arsenal Army Base. And then that pretty much is the end of our house season for the year.
And then it snows and you're locked in for the rest of the year, right?
Well, we have a couple fundraising events, but that's it. October, we have the Kayak Fishing Jamboree, which is in North Wildwood, New Jersey. That's down there in Cape May.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like a non-tournament get-together like the Boondoggle is, but there's an entry fee for food, an event shirt, and a donation towards Howe.
Cool. Very cool. Bill, what about you, man? What's your calendar look like upcoming? Where can people find you for a wilderness event or a Howe or whatever?
Well, I know on October 8th I'm scheduled to do a little seminar at the Fort Pierce Fishing Club. Mm-hmm. And then right after that we have the Boondoggle event. Obviously, I'll be at the September 28th event for the Florida Bass Paddlers for the Peacock Fishing in Miami. And I'll probably be tagging along with Sean if he needs the help at his future Howe events. And we will see what's going on from there. I'll also be staying close to home at some online tournaments. So I'll be, beginning of October, be a little busy, and then we'll see what happens from there.
So thinking Boondoggle, and we talked a little bit about the great fishery and freshwater here, just kind of a quick tangent before we wrap it up for the evening, but is there, Sean, Bill, is there a place close around Titusville where you might find a peacock bass for any boondoggler that's coming in? I wonder.
Oh, I think that's too far north for peacock. I mean, as it is,
yeah.
West Palm Beach, which is 2 hours south, is kind of on the edge.
Here
in Palm Beach County, we've got a couple of lakes on the south end that have a few, but it's kind of hit or miss. They're predominantly down in, you know, the Fort Lauderdale, Miami, you know, Naples side, you know, the very, very southern part of Florida.
So if you're coming to the Boondoggle and you want a peacock, you're going to have to go a little further south then.
Yeah. Throw it on and head 2 hours south. It'll be all right.
Okay.
Well, if any boondoggler is spending any extra time while they're here, they could stop by the wilderness booth, and I'll give them some locations if they want to make the drive.
Very cool.
Peacock bass, the bites are pretty good lately. I got one today out of Miami. Not much size. Actually catching more of them in Delray Beach as well, which is south Palm Beach County. To what Sean said, they are Fort Lauderdale and south is usually where you'll see the larger numbers of them.
And are these fish, are they always aggressive? I mean, are they topwater fish or spinner baits, or what do you use for them?
For me, the luck I've had with them, lipless crankbaits around bridge pylons or square-billed crankbaits just above grass lines, which is what I got mine on today. They're pretty aggressive. Fight a little bit almost like a redfish where they'll be pulling down a lot. Trying to go to the bottom. They don't jump as much as largemouth bass might. I call them the freshwater redfish because that's just exactly what they feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But they hit hard.
Very cool. Well, Bill, it's been great having you on the show. In fact, speaking about peacock, we might have to just do a special show and invite you back to talk about peacock bass and the Florida bass paddlers there. I think that might be a future show. What do you say?
Oh, I'd love to do it. I've always been told I have a face for radio.
You have a face for radio? We all do, man. That's, you know, we're all 6'2", strong, good-looking young men, right?
That's it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. What'd you say, Sean?
I say one of us is.
One of us is.
Yeah, that's
all right. Well, yeah, Matt's the young guy here, so... But
I wanted to ask, Matt, where are you from in New Jersey?
I currently live in Raritan, New Jersey. It's like by Bridgewater, Somerville.
Okay.
I lived in Brick Township before I moved to Florida.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's not far. I fish down there all the time.
Forage ponds?
More saltwater, so I'm off the beach.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Seaside Park. I'll be fishing down there soon for the striper moving through. But I fish all the way from Staten Island down to about Brick Township, that area.
Okay. Yeah, I always stop at Jersey Paddle when I go visit my mother, so I'll have to look you up next time I'm up there.
Cool. Sounds good.
And, Matt, your blog is?
ThePlasticHull.net.
PlasticHull.net. That's Yak Chum. Matt Trucks, thanks for joining us tonight, Matt. We appreciate you calling.
Thanks, Chip.
Still catching fluke up there, or just those little teeny stripers?
Catching fluke off the beaches right now. Pretty
okay.
good.
Very
little,
cool.
Little tiny stripers. They're down in Maryland.
Okay. It's a Maryland fish, not a Jersey, right?
Yeah.
So,
now fluke
all right.
is good off the beaches right now. So.
Sean, thanks for joining us tonight.
And absolutely.
We'll be seeing you guys at the Boondoggle. Bill Secor has joined us tonight, pro staff for Wilderness Systems. Bill, you want to give us the website for Wilderness? I think it is
sure.
Wilderness Systems, right?
It's wildernesssystem.com. That is correct.
All right. And how about your Florida Paddlers? You got that? You got a website for that?
Yes, we do. Thanks to Sean Wagner. We have a great site. It's floridabasspaddlers.org.
FloridaBassPaddlers.org.
Yes, and we're
and
also
on
Facebook.
Website, if you go to Pro Staff blog, you can catch Bill Secor's blog on our Florida Bass Paddler page.
Probably find them both on Facebook too, right?
That's it?
That's correct, yes.
All right. So we look forward to seeing you down there at the Boondoggle, Bill. It's nice talking to you tonight.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
All right. And about 30 minutes after we hang up, the show will show up on Blog Talk Radio /Kayak Fishing Radio or on iTunes for download for those folks listening to the podcast. And I'll send a link to Evan. He asked to see that. But again, folks, Bill Secora, Wilderness Systems, he's going to be at the Boondoggle. They're going to be giving away a ride with the new Air Pro Max seat, and I think it's a drawing for some of the proceeds benefit Howe and stuff. It's generally the way they do it at the Boondoggle, and
yes.
That's October 10th through the 14th, plus or minus a couple of days, depending upon how aggressive you are for boondoggling, and it's Titusville, Florida, Merritt Island, Cars Park. It's right on the no motor zone on the south side of Merritt Island. North side is the Mosquito Lagoon for those folks who recognize that name. So, and that's about going to wrap it up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, neither of which have any peacock bass.
No peacock bass, but there are redfish, trout, jacks, ladyfish.
Snook, tarpon.
Snook, tarpon, big giant lizards. Too, with bad attitudes.
Mm.
And I think
lots of puffer fish.
Yeah, so if you're gonna use plastics there, make sure that you bring, and we'll be talking about that as we get closer to the event. All right, folks, that'll do it for tonight. Make sure you take a kid fishing, and we'll see everybody next week, same time, same bat channel. Good night all. Thanks, gents, for joining me.